Welcome to the Happy, Healthy, Strong podcast. Our goal is to equip you with the knowledge and tools you need to make lasting changes in your health. Society has trained us to think that Western medicine is the answer to long-term health, but this approach only treats symptoms and never addresses the root cause. Without a new approach, our community will experience unnecessary sickness and suffering. We teach the functional health model to educate and empower listeners on their journey to a happier, healthier, and stronger life. My name is Paige, and I'm a certified holistic health coach. I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Alex Arguello, Doctor of Chiropractic and Functional Health Practitioner. Join us as we unpack some of the most pressing health challenges facing our community today. Welcome back to the Happy, Healthy, Strong podcast. Today, we are continuing to go through the foods from the Restoring Human Diet one by one, and we're going to be talking about bone broth, which is, I think, one of the most healing foods out there. So I am excited to hear more about this one. But before we jump into that, let's do the Saturday morning workout recap.
Yes, because we were both here working out.
Yes.
Which has been a while since we did that. Last week you were not feeling well, so we took a break on the podcast. And I mean, I typically work out on Saturdays, but another reason why I do is because I know we're going to be doing this afterwards.
Same. So it's really good accountability.
Because I don't think last week I came. I'm trying to remember, but I don't know if I did. But this week, so there was five of us there, so we split it up into two teams. You were partnering with another guy at the gym, and then I was partnered with two other men, and we did different things. One of them was a shuttle run, so just kind of running 25 feet down and back. That's a good just kind of cardiovascular movement, metabolic conditioning movement. Keeps the heart rate up during the workout. We did a sandbag, or you guys are using a what's called a wall ball or a medicine ball over the shoulder, so you pick it up from the ground and throw it over your shoulder. That was easily the hardest part of what we were doing. And then after we did a certain number of those, we picked up that same sandbag and held it kind of at our midsection, and then walked down and back that same distance that we were doing the shuttle run. So our bag was 150 pounds. And it was not fun.
Yikes, I didn't realize how much it was.
Yeah, it was 100 pounds.
Wow, ours was 30.
So myself and another one of the guys that I was with today are doing a competition next Saturday, which I don't know if that's going to interfere with what we're doing here. I don't think
we'll figure it out.
But so it's just kind of getting us used to that. We got to do that size of a sandbag at the competition.
Okay.
And we did some pull-ups, synchro pull-ups for us. So we were doing them. We had to hit the bar with our chest at the same time, or it didn't count. So
that was pretty cool to watch. So like, it's, if you can't picture it, two guys literally doing, and it's not just a regular pull-up. If you haven't seen like a CrossFit pull-up, it's like a whole gymnastic effort. Right. But yeah, I was like, wow, like I was mesmerized, and then I was like, oh, I gotta get back to what I was doing.
And we definitely failed a bunch of times not getting there at the same time, because that's a tough movement. Then we did something called snatch. So that's a barbell movement where you have a very wide grip, and then you take it from, well, these are hang snatches. So you deadlift it up to your hips, and then you go from your hip to above your head, fully extended with your arms back down. You did 10 of those. I think that was all of them. Is that all the movements?
I think, We did ring, or I did.
You did ring rows for the pull-ups. Pull-ups,
yeah.
Which is good to say that, you know, because some people listening are like, a pull-up, there's no way I'm going to be able to do a pull-up.
Totally.
Well, there's definitely scales for all of the, so we would call that upper body pulling. So you're pulling with your upper body. So whether you can hold on to a stationary bar and pull straight up like a pull-up, or if you have to scale that back a little bit and pull like a ring row. So you're rowing from your arms extended to bringing them to your chest. It's all. Oh, it's a great movement.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
that is what we did, and we're wore out. It took us almost 30 minutes to finish the work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, bone broth. As you said, we're just going through the food list on the Restoring Human Diet, starting with the animal foods, and really just talking through them of kind of why we eat them, and then I'm hoping you're going to be able to help me out with maybe how you use bone broth. I could say a little bit about what we do and how we do it, but. Again, Emily does most of that, so that's not something I'm a super expert in. But bone broth, so This goes back to the same thing we said with organ meats. For thousands of years, people have been eating what's called nose to tail. So when they were to kill an animal, they knew that it might be a long time before they actually are able to kill another animal. So they had to use the whole thing. So they were eating all of the meat, the muscle meat, the organ meats. They were figuring out how to use the hides, you know, for different stuff. And then so inside the bones, there's marrow in the bones. They would eat the marrow. So all of these things, what happened over time is they realized if they heated the bones up, it would make them more digestible. So then now they could either eat the bones, or some magic things would happen in the water that they were heating the bones up in. That would just be, like you said, very healing for them. Of course, they, you know, through scientific advances, we figured out why this stuff is good for the body. But they just realized, and I'm sure there was, you know, thousands of years ago and stuff, there was probably spiritual aspects of it, of when we drink this, you know, magic
potion,
potion that things magically heal. But we know now that there's just a ton of stuff in bone broth that is super healing.
Yeah.
So I'll start with, I've mentioned that I, for foods that I want people to increase, I make them blue on the food list. And then foods I want them to eliminate, I make them red. I think I've only had to make bone broth red on one person that I've ever done this for.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't even know
almost
that I
always
actually,
blue.
Yeah, it's almost always blue. Everybody, no matter what you have going on, whether it's a hormonal issue, a digestive issue, it's a neuroendocrine issue, if it's a detox issue, all of it, you're going to benefit from having bone broth. Because like you said, it's just very healing. So we've probably heard of the old wives' tale of chicken noodle soup when mm-hmm. you are sick, if you have some type of a virus fighting a flu or something like that. The reason why that's helpful is because of the broth that you're, it's not really the chicken. It's definitely not the noodles
that you're, right.
that you're taking in. So it's the broth that you're taking in that's going to be healing for the body. So if people have what we would call suppressed immune systems, or just immune systems have went awry, like they have some type of autoimmunity where maybe immune system is overreacting, if they have some sort of inflammatory issue, then bone broth is for sure something that I'm trying to increase in their body. Of course, a digestive system problem, something as serious as like celiacs or ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, these people should definitely be doing bone broth. Or if it's just, you know, symptoms, constipation, diarrhea, all of those type of things, digestive symptoms, bone broth is huge for these people. And then I would just say, like I mentioned, the hormonal issue, if things are just out of whack, bone broth, I use it specifically in a fasting, with fasting. So I'm adding bone broth to just people's, you know, diets that I'm giving them, the typical food list I'm giving them. But some people I'll say, hey, let's start with a bone broth fast, a 3-day bone broth fast. And it just kind of resets everything. In addition to the bone broth, it's allowing their bodies to get away from foods that they might be sensitive to or have some sort of intolerance to. So it gives that a break, allows inflammation to come down. And then the bone broth, as we'll get into, has some things that are just very healing for the gut lining. So it just gives everything a break. And when you typically, when you bring down inflammation and you heal up the gut, whatever the issue is, not saying that it completely takes that issue away, but you move the needle a lot with
right
that sort
and
of thing.
Just that like fasting window too, you can make a lot of progress. That's what
yeah.
you're saying. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. So here's just some of the things that we get, some key nutrients that we get when we take in bone broth, and a lot of this stuff is maybe things that you've never really heard about if you're one of our listeners, but it has a protein called collagen in it. So collagen's pretty popular, so people have probably heard of collagen within the last few years. If you've ever heard of Dr. Axe is a big promoter of collagen.
Yes.
But it's a type of protein, and it's just the protein really that goes to your tissues, so specifically connective tissue. So think tendons and ligaments and those type of things. Collagen is going to be very helpful for that type of stuff, which is huge, especially as people get older. Those things, they should be really elastic. So if you think of like an NBA basketball player who can jump really high, he has a lot of elasticity to his tendons and ligaments. That's one of the reasons why he can jump really high and come back down and land. As you get older, you lose that elasticity, and that's when people have injuries, you know, whether it's an Achilles tendon injury or patellar tendon injury around your knee. There's a rotator cuff problems. All of these things are typically because your tendons and ligaments have lost elasticity. Well, one of the reasons why is back to when we talked about muscle meats is we're typically eating only muscles. We're not eating the organ meats. We're not eating meat on the bone. So we're not getting a lot of this collagen that comes from having meat on the bone or doing something like bone broth to kind of strengthen and keep these ligaments and tendons, keep their elasticity. Then there's glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate. So if you know about that, it's probably because you've been to the vitamin store and people recommend glucosamine chondroitin for joints like arthritis in your knees, those type of things. Well, yes, can you get it in supplement form? There hasn't been a ton of good research that shows that those things are helpful in supplement form, but they are things that are helpful for your joints, similar to the collagen. So if you can get them in the form of bone broth, you know that you're doing good things for your joints. Another thing called hyaluronic acid. So I will spell that just in case nobody understood what I just said there. So it's hyaluronic acid. So it is just, so these are what are called organic acids. So you've heard of like citric acid. You've heard of different acids like malic acid, those type of things. These are just things that, again, are helpful. This has been shown to be helpful for your immune system. It's been shown to be helpful for your joints. A lot of different things. The hyaluronic acid is extremely beneficial.
That's just a side note. I'm pretty sure that's an ingredient that they put a lot of times in like makeup and skincare. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So back to the elasticity, one of the reasons why you know, the skincare world has found things like hyaluronic acid and even collagen and stuff is because it can prevent things like wrinkles, mm-hmm. you know, in your skin. So it keeps your skin nice and healthy. So yeah, hyaluronic
acid. But it originates from bones.
Yeah.
Animal bones. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, which you, again, when you heat up bones, it becomes more digestible and you get stuff into the water that you're boiling it in. Mm-hmm. And it's good for your skin. So
cool.
That's great. just other two amino acids that are extremely important, something called glycine and proline. We talked last week or last time we did a call when we were talking about organ meats, and we said one of the problems with only eating muscle meats is this ratio between amino acids. So it was tryptophan and methionine versus glycine. So if you're eating all muscle meats, you're getting a lot of tryptophan, you're getting a lot of methionine, which is great, but there's not a lot of glycine in the muscle meat. So you are spreading out that ratio, which could just be extremely inflammatory for the body. So where do you get glycine? Well, you get it from bone broth. Glutamine is something else that you can be getting in these in something like bone broth and proline. And so this is just some of the stuff that's helpful, again, for connective tissue. Experts call it the biological glue that holds the body together. So that would be a good reason why you should be taking in glycine and proline. Extremely anti-inflammatory. Anybody with autoimmune issues should be focusing on glycine and proline. I don't do it a ton, but I used to when I first started helping people with like leaky gut and those type of things. I would actually do only glycine by itself in supplement form because it was very helpful. Now, again, I would rather them just get it through bone broth. So I'm typically just recommending that they increase bone broth. So yeah, that is just a ton of huge things that I think the importance of it is, like I said, especially the glycine and the proline, you're not getting into with your typical muscle meats, especially if you're not eating food on the bone or meat on the bone. And then all of those glucosamine and chondroitin and collagen and the hyaluronic acid. If you are, even if you're just like a carnivore person, if you're super into that and you're only eating muscle meats, you're just not getting all of those things. And like we learned with the organ meats, you're not just missing out on those nutrients that could cause problems. It's when you have too much of one nutrient and not enough of the other nutrients. I've mentioned before that there's this nutrient synergy that happens when you eat real food, so which is a big problem with people that want to get a lot of their nutrients from supplements. They take a ton of one supplement and they're just missing out on other supplements, and that just creates problems in the body. The body just doesn't know how to adapt to that sort of thing. So the more you can get from these real foods, which bone broth would be one of those things, the better you're going to be. So,
yeah,
huge.
It's really like, can't emphasize enough how much better it is to like eat the real foods instead of the vitamins. And one of our clients made a comment to me just this past week of she's doing really well. And she's like, I just think of it as like, I'm just taking my like she's had a history of a lot of medication and stuff, like eating these good healing foods and stuff is just like taking her medication. It's just not optional. And likewise, like avoiding the, she's like, every time I avoid like a sugary treat or whatever, that's almost like taking a good form of medicine. I was like, wow, that's a great analogy.
That's huge.
Thanks for that.
I always think about that with back to, we mentioned the difficulty with getting, you know, healthy foods in kids. And one of the things that I always think, I'm like, if they had to take medicine, you would do whatever you had to do to get medicine.
Yes. I mean, it's something that about our mindset about, like, if it's in a pill form or some sort of like medicine or supplement, it's way more like, we got to do this. But like, if bone broth listed on the back, like all the things.
Well, and think of, I mean, we don't have to get into vaccines at all right now. But think about that. You're like literally, you're taking a needle and putting it in your child. Because you believe that it's good for them, but then you won't do whatever it takes to get them healthy food. It's kind of weird.
Yep.
But yeah, food is, that's a great way of thinking about it. And I mean, I hate to call things medicine because it's more just reactionary, but that's just the way people think. So if it is, well, that back to Dr. Axe, his big thing is food
is medicine.
Food is medicine. Or let food be that. I think that's actually Hippocrates.
Yes.
We've mentioned before, so he probably stole that from
right.
But yeah, it's a huge thing. If food, healthy, it's, I think everybody knows that just eating real food is a good thing and better to eat than eating processed foods. And I shouldn't even say that anymore. The more we get away from it, the easier it becomes to just think it's completely
normal
to not.
Yeah.
And, well, I don't know. I'm thinking about it. I've been a weirdo for 13 years.
You know?
And that's just because I try to eat real food most of the time.
Right.
But, you know, I'm the healthy. Like, we were at MC the other night, and a good friend of mine from, I've known him since kindergarten, has asked to come to the church. And so I met with him the other day, so I was sharing that at MC. And, of course, the first comment from somebody is, oh, so he knew pre-organic Alex.
You're pretty much just stamped with that.
Oh, man. But yeah, bone broth, very important. So let's talk a little bit about how do you do it with your family.
Right. So, I mean, what's, maybe just we should define the difference between like a stock, like a chicken stock, and like a chicken bone broth. Do you kind of know that explanation? Or I can tell what my understanding.
Go ahead.
I think that a chicken stock is more made with muscle meats. And if you were to like boil like a chicken, like with all the muscle meat on it in water, and that produces stock, and it's not as long of time. It's like a shorter, you know, maybe like an hour or something like that.
Yep.
Versus bone broth is you like, my understanding is you can have bones that still have some meat on them, but it's primarily mostly the bones. And it's a long time simmering, and you just like simmer until you get all that good stuff out of the bones. And I would say, I think that's the main difference.
Yeah. That's my understanding. It's just, which means it's a lot less nutrient dense, right?
When you're the stock.
The focus of what you're getting out of what you're boiling is the meat and not the bone. And if you're not doing it as long, you're definitely not getting these, at least the nutrients that we talked about today, you know, out of the bone as much. So,
Right. Yeah,
I mean, the recipe that I have in front of me is 8 to 10 hours. I don't know how long you typically cook.
I have done it probably, I think 24 hours one time I did, and the whole house smelled amazing, and it was truly the best bone broth I've ever made. And I just like wished I made more, but I still need to figure out, because that was like on the stove in a pot, and so I lost a lot from steam.
Sure.
So I don't know if I did it right, but I've tried a few different methods. I know some people do the crock pot, you know, for long periods of time. Yep. Some people do use the instant pot. So I think that can be a good option too. But I think like the traditional is like the long simmer rather than just, you know, the instant pot is like just trying to do it super fast. And so I think you get even more benefit if you do like the low and slow method.
Right.
But yeah, basically anytime we eat meat on the bone, Jason, my husband, knows do not throw the bones away. Mm-hmm. He has been scolded for when I see bones in the trash. I'm like, you wasted them. That's the best part. So we always save the bones. I have just like a bag in the freezer to collect over time. Like anytime I make a whole chicken, I just, if I'm not up to doing the whole thing all at the chicken and then doing the bone broth, because it's kind of a lot in the kitchen, but so then I'll just throw like the chicken carcass and all the extra bones in a bag in the freezer, accumulate that over time, as and then like when I'm ready and I have enough bones, just throw it all in a big pot and like just cover it with water, add celery, onions, carrots, parsley, whatever you have really, and then just let it simmer. That's the most basic.
Are you mostly using chicken?
That would be our most common one. Although I did recently, just because I feel like the bones are the most easy to come by, you know. But I found at Natural Grocers in the frozen section, like marrow bones from beef, like from cows. And so I would be curious to know if Emily does that, because I've never actually like scooped the marrow out of the bones or.
Yeah, I don't think she's
been
does that.
On that.
I'll take the bones and get it out sometimes, but yeah, she's not. She's not necessarily doing that.
Yeah, sure. So I have those in the freezer to make the beef bone broth, but I mostly chicken just because it's easy.
Yeah, yeah, it is the easiest thing. Cause we're definitely not trying to make things difficult for people, so the easier that you can make these things is important. So if you are going to cook a full chicken, then yeah, it's just easy to keep the bones and get broth from it.
Right.
So you're doing that, and then typically how are you using it for?
Yeah, so then I use it in all kinds of ways. The most obvious is like make a soup of some sort, you know. And actually one of my favorite like life hacks or whatever is it's best when you do have a homemade bone broth, but then you use that homemade bone broth to make like a chicken soup of some sort with just like chicken and veggies and herbs and stuff. And then what I do with that is I freeze it in like little individual, I have like a giant jumbo muffin tin, like a silicone thing.
Okay.
And so I freeze it in those individual kind of portions. And then whenever somebody is sick, then I can pull out one little like frozen circular cube of homemade chicken soup and just heat it on the stove.
Awesome.
So
that's a great
that's
idea.
When I'm really on top of things. We don't currently have that in the freezer. It's all gone. I need to do it again.
Replenish.
But yeah, especially going into the winter. But that's a really good way to use it, of course, is in soups. Second favorite way to use it is probably to make rice with it, especially for getting my kids. the picky toddler to eat it. That's the best way to get bone broth into her, because she'll like always eat rice and it absorbs all of that, so, and it makes the rice way better. Yes, way better. Otherwise it's just and then I mean you can put it in smoothies, you can, if you're trying to be sneaky with kids. So like we've been on this whole healing journey with my toddler, and I've really been trying to get bone broth into her for a long time. And even just like mixing even a little bit, like a tablespoon, into something like an applesauce or whatever, even just that small amount for a small little body, like that's still going to do something. Because sometimes I get caught up in like, well, like she's not having enough, or it's not enough to make a difference. But it's like, no, even just like that little bit is still going to help.
Oh yeah.
So.
Yeah. And consistency with it. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
Just continuing to try it.
Right. And I also personally like to just sip it warm, kind of like a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And I've got one of our health coaching clients, instead of coffee in the morning, she's doing that.
Yeah.
Like that's her morning ritual, is just like a cup of warm bone broth in the morning.
That's great.
Next to her computer while she's working.
There you go.
Yeah.
I think you hit on all the ones that I've ever given to people. And then, added the frozen, you know, just individual.
Yeah.
When you're sick, ring it out. But, the coffee, kind of replacing coffee with it. Of course, making soups, adding it to rice. Well, Emily will add it to, if we're ever going to do black beans or something like that. If we're having like a Mexican night, she'll add it to that in the Instapot. So, there's just a bunch of ways. So we're not necessarily saying that you need to, have it like, 8 ounces of like you do water multiple times a day.
Mm-hmm.
We're just saying figure out ways to get it into your diet.
Yeah.
With all of those different options.
And I would say like sometimes, you know, making it is intimidating. And so maybe you want to start by just buying it at the store. Mm-hmm. And there are, of course, like levels of quality at the store. And
right.
So
well, that's back to the chicken stock versus chicken broth. Right. You're going to see stock all over the place. So you want to stay away from that. But I just had some of the brands, Kettle and Fire is a great one. Epic has a good bone broth. Kettle and Fire is going to be in a box, so that'll just be kind of in the inside aisles. If you're at like Natural Grocers or Fresh Time, if you're local, or like if you're Whole Foods, if you're not, something like that. I don't think Trader Joe's probably has some. But
oh, I'm sure.
Another way of doing it, if you have other ones, so Kellyanne is another one, Dr. Kellyanne. If you, I guess another way, and this can be the last thing that we probably talk about, but Dr. Axe is, again, huge into collagen, huge into bone broth. He has, through Ancient Nutrition, which is his company, he came up with a protein powder, so like a whey protein.
Right.
And
yes.
Or even a vegan-type protein. So this is a bone broth protein that you can do is another great way of putting into smoothies and things like that. So people
are
like, there's no way I'm making it, and they don't want to buy it. Then going to the bone broth protein is a huge thing.
Right. And when you make it at home, you'll know it's like a really good batch if when it comes to room temperature, it like gels a little bit.
Yeah.
That's when it's like, oh yeah, that like I got all the good stuff out of the bones when it like starts to gel.
Yeah, that's a huge point, because that's what people think is gross, and that's usually what they take off the top and throw away.
Ugh,
and
that's the
what
best
you
part.
Want. That's the stuff that you're wanting to come out. Everything that I mentioned is really in. So that's gelatin, that's or the collagen, hyaluronic acid, all that stuff's going to be in there. So yeah, you don't want to discard that stuff.
Right. And so there's a brand at the store that it literally gel, like it's gel, because some of the ones like Kettle and Fire, it's more like
a
stock where it's it's just liquid. But there's this one that you can find locally, but it's in the frozen section because it is so like,
okay, so yeah, this is the one I was saying. I might have said Epic. This is Bonafide is what I was thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's traditional 18 hours. Like they do it low and slow. Like it's really, I think this is the best quality one that you could get.
That's the one I'm usually using for bone broth fast.
Mm-hmm.
This is
what I've been recommending to people. Yeah. So I'm glad that you agree.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, and it tastes delicious too. So
oh yeah.
It's a little pricey, but find it on sale and stock up. So.
And what makes it taste even better is sea salt. So
ooh.
Get some Redmond real salt. And
if
you're struggling to find ways, which I don't know how you would, but struggling to find ways of getting sea salt into your diet, it's another great way of adding that.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. Yeah.
All right.
Well, thank you guys for listening. Let us know if you have any ideas that we missed or ways that you incorporate bone broth that we haven't mentioned. We'd love to hear about it. And keep sending us your questions as we work our way through on these foods. We want to answer all your questions and just help you guys as you start to become the weird people like us and eat real food. All right. Talk to you next time.